Let's take our Bibles together to the book of John, the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter. We will conclude this chapter by the grace of God and our emphasis in preaching on what we've called the real Lord's Prayer. John 17 being exclusively the prayer of Jesus Christ to His Father. If you've not been with us of why we've called that, you can go back and get those messages and find out. This is the intercessory prayer of Jesus Christ for His own. And we want to read verse 9 and then drop down to verse 15 and read the rest of this chapter together. If you're with me, John 17, verse 9. The Bible says, Jesus praying, of course, He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. Drop down to verse 15, please. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent Me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given Me, be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent Me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them. Now, we've been going through the prayer requests of Jesus Christ to the Father for us. And I say us because it was not just for these apostles that were left, but also for all of us who would believe on Him through their word, He says in verse 20. So that includes you if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ after hearing the message of the Word of God, which was given by the apostles, that gospel of our salvation. He was praying for you. And of course, He had long eyesight to be able to see that. But we've been going through these specific requests of Jesus for us. He first asked that the Father would keep us. You notice that in verse 11. He says in verse 11, Now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me. He said, Lord, He says, Father, through Your own name, keep them, keep them. And that's why we talked last time about our salvation being secure, because it's kept by God the Father. It's kept by the power of the name of God. We do not keep ourselves. God keeps us as an answer to the prayer request of Jesus. And not only keeping us personally in our souls, but drop down to verse 15, but keeping us in another regard. He said in verse 15, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. The prayer request of keeping us from the evil that is in this world. And so that's the prayer request, first prayer request of Jesus. Keep them, Father, keep them. The second one was make them. Make them something that they could not become. Make us something we could never be on our own. He said in verse 11, He said that they may be one as we are one. He prays for the us to be in God and for God to be in us. He says over and over, I in them. He prays for unity, not just of Jews, but Gentiles and all together in one body, that we would be one and we would be one together and we'd be one with God and Jesus would be inside and we would be inside. in him. And that's something that was accomplished. Great miracle, great mystery. And then the third request of Jesus was in verse 13. At the end of the verse, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He wanted to fulfill them. He wanted to keep them. He wanted to make them. He wanted to fulfill their lives. He wants the same for you and me today. But the one I want to look at, we looked at all that last time, but I have two left and one will take up the majority of the time. In verse 17, would you look at this fourth request of Jesus for you if you're a believer? He says in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. He prays for your sanctification. Now we live in a very dense society, not dense in the sense of bodies, but in brains. And I say that for this reason. A lot of times people approach the Bible and they say, well, I can't understand it because it has long words. Well, it doesn't have really long words. You only have to have about a sixth grade education to read all the Bible. That's a scientific fact, by the way. So if you didn't go to sixth grade, I'm sorry, but you can learn words. Anybody can learn words. That's why we go to school. And some of the words in the Bible are very unknown to people, but they're very important because they all tell us, give us a picture and an understanding of God's working in our hearts. And a lot of these words have to do with salvation. I wrote a book one time about seven words that have to do with salvation. And if you don't understand these words, you probably won't understand salvation. Usually most of them end in T-I-O-N, like the word justification. Like the word redemption. You know, some people don't even know what these words mean. They're very different words. Like the word imputation. There's one some people never get a hold of. And one of those words is sanctification. To sanctify. What does it mean to sanctify? It was so important for Jesus Christ that of these four or five things that he asked God to do in our lives, one of them is to sanctify us. Sanctify. I ask you a question this morning. Are you sanctified? Now we'll find out more what that means as we go along. But I want to say that Jesus' desire for your life. You know, we have a lot of desires for our life. We have a lot of prayer requests that we'd make to God. God, I need this. I need this other thing. Would you work here? Would you hear my prayer about this? But I wonder how many of us get on our face before God and pray like Jesus. I wonder how many of our prayers are like the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you got on your face and said, Lord, I need to be sanctified? I find myself doing that on several occasions. Lord, I'm in need of sanctification. What is sanctification? I'll give you the strict definition. It's also found by looking at other places and just reading the Bible. The Bible defines itself. If you read all the Bible, you'd understand what sanctification is. But sanctification is God making us holy. Making us holy. Now, you can't make yourself holy. You can't do that. You know, in order for anybody to see God, and in order for anybody to go to heaven, you know they've got to be sanctified. Did you know the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that without holiness no man shall see the Lord? You did know that was in the Bible, didn't you? Well, wait a minute. If without holiness no man's even going to see God, without holiness I can't go to heaven. And you think about that. Heaven's a holy place. Why should we get to go? Anybody here want to raise their hand and say, I'm holy? Well, I tell you what, if you're not holy, if you've never been sanctified, you're not even going to heaven. But again, that's not something you've accomplished by your might and power. That's something that only God Almighty can accomplish in your life. And Jesus Christ prays to the Father, Father, sanctify them. Clean them up. Make them holy because they are not holy. They are sinful. I mean, if God didn't sanctify us, heaven would just be as bad a place as this earth is. Have you thought about that? What kind of heaven would be heaven with a bunch of unsanctified, unholy people? Oh, it would be a place just like we live here. But God's heaven's pure. Nothing's going to enter into heaven that makes a lie. Nothing unclean or unholy is going to enter into heaven. You say, well, how can we all go? Because we're all dirty. Because God can sanctify people. He can clean them up and make them holy. Also, Romans chapter, the Bible said 1 Corinthians 7:14 talks about sanctified, meaning holy. And only God can do that. Now, how is he going to do that? Look at our verse. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know how you're made holy? You're made holy by God's book, by God's truth. That's why you are in such danger. If you live your life outside of the pages of the Bible, you are in such danger, because the only way you are going to be made clean, the only way your life is going to change, the only way God's going to fix what's wrong with you is through the truth, through the Word of God. God sanctifies us through the Bible, through the words of the Bible. And Jesus says, Father, sanctify them. They're not holy, but make them that way. And take your truth, take your word, and clean them up. Isn't that what the Bible says in Ephesians 5? He said in Ephesians 5 and verse 26, he says, the washing of the water by the word. But what does the first part of that verse say? Ephesians 5, 26, that he might sanctify, you listen, and cleanse it through the washing of the water by the word. God takes the word and he cleans our soul. If you're saved this morning, faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God washed you on the inside, and the word of God sanctified you and set you apart. Set you apart from an unholy world. Set you apart from an unholy heart. And set you apart to God. That's sanctification. To put you with God, setting apart from that which is unclean, holy, through His Word. He said in 1 Timothy 4, 5, you know, we can even sanctify things. I don't know about you, but I would say our food is pretty unsanctified. You know, we got these people running around that say, you know, we need to eat clean food and drink clean water. And I tell you what, you take a microscope, man, there's bad stuff in everything. You know what I'm saying? Yep. It really is. It doesn't matter, amen, if you picked it up off the floor or you bought it from the grocery store or it was organic. You know what also is organic? Bugs. They're organic. That's right. Yep. Arsenic is organic. I don't think we want any of that. Bacteria is organic. Man, I just want clean food. Well, you know what? Everything in life, just like us, there's something wrong with it. You know what the Bible says we're supposed to do with our food? He said, every creature of God to be received with thanksgiving. And then he says this, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I wonder, do you sanctify your food? You know, we've grown up in the Southern culture, and I praise God for it, where people pray before they eat. You go most places, they don't do that. You go up north, even people that say they're Christians, they don't pray. A lot of places, they don't pray for their food. They just dig in, you know. But in the South, we were taught, hey, bow your head. Even people that don't, that not really say, that, well, let's say grace. I don't know what grace, you know, I don't know what say grace means, but it's supposed to be a thankfulness to God. Thank you, Lord. And even the Scripture, it's sanctified. We can sanctify our food. I tell you what, I've eaten some stuff over on the mission field that needed to be sanctified. But everything needs to be sanctified. It's unclean. But God says, here you can take an unclean animal. Of course, with the Jewish people, they looked at pork and all these other stuff, you know, shrimp and all that stuff as unclean. Catfish. And he says, you know, you can, that's unclean stuff, but you can sanctify it. Praise God. Now look, if you can take a dirty old catfish. Now, catfish is nasty. Amen. So are shrimp and lobsters. They're just roaches in the sea, man. Well, that'll help your understanding next time you... Oh, that lobster is the... That's the food of kings. It used to be the food of paupers because nobody else would eat it. But anyway, that's another story. Those are nasty. You know what they get down there? They're scavengers. You know what a scavenger does? It just eats everything. I mean, anything. Doesn't matter what it is. It's like a chicken. I mean, we eat so much chicken, you know. Chickens are nasty. Aren't they, brother? Come on now, y'all. They'll eat anything. They'll eat awful stuff. You say, well, look at all this nasty food. What do? Well, look, God can take a nasty animal and he can sanctify it for your consumption. Now, how does he do that? Listen, it is sanctified, listen now, by the word of God and prayer. Sanctified. Now let me ask you a question. If God can sanctify a pig, and a pig is nasty. These guys at Rag Pig, they'd have to be about 2 miles on the back 40 away from my house. They're nasty. And smell, all that. Nasty. If God can take a nasty old pig and sanctify it, clean it up, make it clean for your consumption, sanctified, holy, a pig being holy. If God can make a pig, that's what the word means. If God can take that and sanctify it, don't you think he can take you and sanctify you? And by the way, you know what the Bible likens pigs to in the Bible? He over there in Peter, he likens them unto false prophets and false teachers and people that have turned themselves. He just likens them to unclean, unsanctified, unholy, wicked people. But the truth is, Jesus gets down on his knees and he says, Father, I know they're a bunch of hogs and dogs. I know that they are unclean. I know that they are unholy. But Father, I want you, I pray for you to sanctify them. Set them apart from that unholiness and uncleanness. And make them holy as you're holy. Has he done that in your life? You say, well, how does that happen? Well, it happens, first of all, through the Word of God, but it also happens because of Jesus' sanctification. Would you look at verse 19? John 17, verse 19, the Bible says this. John 17, 19, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. In other words, we're only able to be sanctified because Jesus was sanctified, and he takes himself, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He takes himself and the truth, and because he's sanctified and he comes to live into me, he sanctifies me. I can only be sanctified because he's sanctified. Because he is holy, I can be made holy. Because he is righteous, I can be made righteous. That's why the Bible says that Christ Jesus, listen, is made unto us sanctification. He's made unto us righteousness. That's 1 Corinthians 1:30. So I can be sanctified because Jesus is sanctified. And if he lives in me, that makes me holy. That makes me righteous, not because of me, but because of him. And then I want to say, you remember all this prayer in chapter 17 where he says, I want them to be one. How can somebody be one with God when they're not sanctified? They can't. We can't be one with God, unholy and unsanctified, because what fellowship hath light with darkness? And what fellowship hath unrighteousness with righteousness? God's righteous. How can I be made one with him? That's the great dilemma that most people never even think about. How can God put me together with himself? Because he's not like me. Listen to this verse. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. That's Hebrews 2, 11. In other words, God, who's able to sanctify us because of that, can make us one with himself. He cleans us up on the outside. You say, well, preacher, there's a lot of stuff about me that's not clean. Yeah, but that ain't going to heaven. Excuse my English. The part of you that's unholy, if you're saved by the grace of God and is not clean, it's not going to heaven. This on the outside, not going to heaven. God's going to have to change all that and sanctify that as well. But if you're sanctified this morning, it's because of Christ. It makes us one with God. It's a part of our salvation. Would you hold your finger here in John 17 and go to 1 Corinthians 6? Salvation. Salvation. And when you get saved, an act of sanctification happens in your heart and your life. You don't see it. You can't see all that on the inside, but it happens. God cleans you up. I wonder, have you been cleaned up on the inside this morning? You say, well, I'm in church. Well, you could, amen, you could dress a pig up and bring it to church. It'd be out of place, but you could do that. Isn't that right? But the question is, have you been sanctified? Have you been cleaned up on the inside? That happens through salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, would you look at it? 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Watch it, verse 11. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are, what's that word? Sanctified. but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. How? How is that possible? And by the Spirit of our God, the Holy Ghost sanctifies us. We're sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The Bible said in Romans 15, 16, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. The sanctification of the Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost of God that cleans you up on the inside. And listen, if you've been saved, that's what happened. Jesus moved in the person of the Holy Ghost, and He sanctifies you. He made you holy on the inside. Didn't change everything immediately on the outside, but it did change everything on the inside. He said in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, He said to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified. How? By faith that is in me. By the way, that tells you that if you've been sanctified, you've got an inheritance. An inheritance among them which are sanctified. He said that again in Acts 20, verse 32, an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You know God won't give you an inheritance if you've never been sanctified. I tell you what, we live in a world where they don't think it matters if you're holy or unholy, if you're clean or you're not clean, if you've been sanctified or you've not been sanctified, but it makes a big difference to God. You can't be one with Him unless you're sanctified. You have no inheritance with Him unless you've been sanctified. You say, well, how long does that last if God did that for me? Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Would you go there quickly? Sanctification, He said, sanctify them through thy truth. It's through the Word of God. It's by the Spirit of God. It's because of Jesus' sanctification. It makes us one with God. And then look how long it is. Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says in verse number 10. Hebrews 10, 10. By the which will, look at it. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, in the Old Testament, they had to do a whole lot of things multiple times to continue that sanctification. But the Bible says one time, by the offering of the body of Jesus, one time He sanctified us for all. Look at that, drop down to verse number 14. He says, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Forever. So the sanctification is one time. The sanctification is forever. Once, for all, and forever. That's eternal. That means when I got saved, God sanctified me forever. You say, well, preacher, you don't look so clean. Well, that's because you can't see everything. Look here. If you could look down, you know what? I'm glad we can't see everything. Because you know what? Right here in this building, there are angels in this building. You say, how you know? Because the Bible says so. They like to come down and look into that. And there's probably some other things in here we don't want to talk about. Some fowls of the air trying to snatch the word out of somebody that's trying to hear the word of God right now. Those devils of hell. I'm glad you... Look, you talk about the Navy pilots seeing things flying around. Hey, if you had the spiritual eyesight to see things in the unseen world, it'd freak you out about what's out there. There's a whole lot of things you can't see. You know what else you can't see? You can't see Jesus in here. You can just see what I present to you on the outside. I can't see Jesus in you. But I guarantee you, if you had the eyes of God and you could look down here, you know what you would see? You would see somebody that's been cleaned up through the blood of Jesus Christ, made one with God. You could see God in here if you had that kind of eyesight. But all you can see is this old thing out here. Does a lot of bad stuff. Does a lot of unclean stuff. Even smells bad a lot of time. I have to take a shower. And it never works because I got to go do it again and again and again and again. But you know what? I don't have to do that in here. Because the offering of the body of Jesus Christ sanctified me once and for all and forever. My salvation is so secure because Jesus did it. And it's permanent on the inside. Sanctification is forever. That's the doctrine. And Jesus prayed for that. Now, I got to go to 1 Thessalonians. Would you go to 1 Thessalonians? Because here's the rub. And I've really got to get this last one. Y'all be patient with me. I'm going to go fast as I can. You say, well, preacher, okay, if you're saved, you're sanctified. That's right. If you've been born again, you're sanctified. You've been made clean forever. Amen. Well, preacher, what's wrong with all these people I look at that say they're saved and they don't look any more sanctified, amen, than a dog? What's the deal? If they've been sanctified forever, then why does their life look so dirty? Don't you have that question? I have that question. If Jesus sanctified me forever, if the Holy Ghost sanctified me when I called out on the name of Jesus Christ, if the Word of God sanctified me when I responded to the gospel, then why are people so dirty that have done that? And that's why we need to read this verse. There's more than one part to sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 23. The Bible has all the instruction and all the answers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, would you look at verse 23? And the very God of peace, what's that word? Sanctify you what? Holy. That's not H-O-L-Y, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y. That means the whole part, the whole thing, not just a part of it. Look at it again. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray. Now, just like Jesus prayed for our eternal sanctification, the Apostle Paul is praying for their sanctification in a different way. I pray God, look at it, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the truth about sanctification. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you have been sanctified forever. You've been made holy in the sight of God forever because Jesus lives inside of you. But there's also more parts to you than just that part on the inside that got saved. There's three parts to you. There's a part of you that didn't get saved. That's the body. And there's another part of you that God's working on to sanctify, and that's your soul. Your spirit. The Bible says he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Remember, that's that oneness. That happens at sanctification. But yet God wants to sanctify all of you. And you know what the sad thing? There are some people that have been saved and sanctified in their spirit forever. They're saved. But they won't let God sanctify the other parts of their life. They won't let God sanctify their body. I said, I've had to pray, God, I'm in need of sanctification. Have you prayed that? You need to pray that. Lord, there's a part of me that's not holy. Is there any parts of your mind, things that you think that aren't holy, that aren't clean? You're in need of sanctification. Are there any parts of your emotions that get carried away with things that God's not pleased with? Well, then your emotions need to be sanctified. Are there things that you do with your body that God's not pleased with, and they're not things that Jesus would do, and they're dirty things and they're unclean things? Well, then your body needs to be sanctified. He said, I want you wholly sanctified. And that's what kind of church Jesus was praying to the Father for. Because you see, why did he want them to be sanctified? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. But if the world sees a bunch of unsanctified people following Jesus Christ, there's not much to believe. I wonder this morning, how sanctified are you? You say, preacher, I'm saved. Yeah, but what about the rest of you? Or what about your ears? Some of us need to sanctify our ears because you listen to things that are dirty. You listen to things that God won't listen to. Some of you need to sanctify your eyes. You need to set them apart for God instead of whatever you want to look at, and that's usually not clean. You need to, how about right here? You need to let God sanctify that mouth. So what comes out of that mouth is the truth of God, instead of all the other wicked and evil and dirty things that come out of people's mouths, even people that name the name of Christ. You know what's wrong? They need to be sanctified. Sanctify your mouth. God wants you to be clean. He wants you to be holy. It's available to you. You say, how do I do that? Through the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. You say, preacher, I got this dirty part of my life. Well, you're going to stay dirty unless you get your nose in the Bible. You're going to have dirty motives unless you get your heart in the Word of God, because we're sanctified through the truth. Every day I open this Bible and I get God's sanctification on the rest of the parts of me. And I'm sanctified through the truth, and I'm washed and sanctified through the Word of God. One of the purposes of you being in church this morning is for God to sanctify you and set you apart and clean you. Oh, God, help us. We live in a world of Christians that have only got sanctification in part. Would you go back to John chapter 17? Again, why? What's the purpose? Why is God cleaning us up so we can brag to the world that we're better than they are? No. But there is a purpose. He said in verse 17 of John 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And then verse 18, this is why. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them in the world. In other words, he wants them sanctified because he's sending them in the world. He said in verse 15, he said, I'm not praying that you would take them out of the world. The world needs a witness. The world needs the light. The world needs the truth. And I know there's evil in the world, Father. And I want you to keep them from the evil. But leave them in the world. And I'm sending them into the world so they can hear somebody that has a real message and a different message and the answer for their soul. And God, I need them sanctified as they go. How much effect are you going to have with your loved ones and the people that God brings you in contact with if your life is no cleaner than their life? It's just not going to have much effect. And so Jesus says, Father, sanctify them because I'm sending them into the world. You know, that Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be sanctified. You know what that purging is, you know. That's getting the stuff out. I preached on that before. When you purge, you know, they use that word in modern vernacular. When you purge, when your body purges something, it violently gets it out one way or the other. Amen. Purging, removing it from the body. Get that out of there. Well, you know what? There's probably some things in our lives this morning that need to be purged out. Because listen now, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he says he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now listen just a minute. You know God can't use some of us? Jesus can't use some of us. You know why? He uses sanctified things. We're not meet for his use if we're not clean, if we're not sanctified. Is there some part of you that needs to be sanctified this morning? Do you need to get to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God and to the cleansing of the Lord and let Him cleanse some part out of your life that's not pleasing so you can really make a difference in a world that God has left us in and has sent us to reach? That's the prayer request of Jesus. Oh, how many off prayer requests do we take? How many burdens we bear? But so many of them have nothing to do with God. I want to be clean. God, make us clean. Make us sanctified. Set us apart for your use, O God. How few prayers are like Jesus' prayer. What did he pray? He said, keep them. He said, make them. He said, fulfill them. He said, sanctify them. He asked for that. And then the last thing, would you go back to John 17? In John 17, verse 24, I'm so glad he prayed this. It didn't have to be this way, but he prayed it this way. And the Father has answered his prayer and will answer his prayer. John 17, verse 24, the Bible says, Jesus praying, he said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. He said, Father, I want you to let them be with me. I want you to make sure they're with me wherever I go, Father. You know what? Jesus and the Father would have done us a great service if he'd have saved us and let us go to heaven and escape hell and put us, amen, on the back 40 of heaven somewhere and said, just sit over and have a good time, but, you know, just keep your distance. You know, we're so unlike the Lord, we don't deserve to be in His presence. We don't deserve to behold His glory. He could have saved us from hell without us being everywhere He is. You know what that Bible says? When the Lord one of these days will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. That, you know what that means? That means He's going to bring them. Those that bring, He brings with them, they're already with Him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus said, Father, here's a prayer request. Would you let them be with me where I am and wherever I am, whether it's heaven or earth, whether it's somewhere else in the universe, I want them to be with me where I am, wherever I am. These that have believed, I want them with me, Father. You know what? That's exactly what's going to happen. The Bible says we'll ever be with the Lord. And the Bible says if I close my eyes in death, listen, I will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Now look, God could have made it some way different. He didn't, but He could have made it a different way. Where we die and we just sort of, like, you know, the people that don't believe the Bible, soul sleep, you know, and just wait for the last day. He didn't do that. Jesus says, you know, Lord, I don't want to wait till the last day to be with these people. As soon as they leave the body, I want them to be with me. I want their soul to be with me. And as soon as they close their eyes in death, I want them to behold my glory and be with me forever and ever. Oh, what, you know what makes heaven heaven? The fact that we will be with Jesus forever. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what makes heaven. He said in John chapter 14 in this same book, He said in chapter 14 verse 3, He said, and I go to prepare a place for them, for you, and if I come again, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The prayer request of Jesus is, I want them to be with me. I got to be honest with you. If I had to pray that, I'd probably pray that some people wouldn't be with me forever. Do you ever get tired of some people? Now, come on, guys. Put your thinking cap on. Sometimes we just read the Bible and we take reality out of it. Let me ask you a question. Would you pray for everybody in this room to be with you forever and ever and never leave your side? I mean, right now, some of you get on some people's nerves so bad they don't want to be around you 5 minutes. Isn't that right? Some people get on your nerves so bad, you just got to get away. I mean, some people, you live in the same, under the same roof, but I mean, too much is too much. I need a vacation. That's why a lot of people go on vacation, get away. Because they're just tired of the people they have to be around all the time. Now, you think about that and put it into context with God. Think about us and God for a while. What is there about us that God would want to be around us all the time? What is it about Jesus that said, you know, I want Him to be around with me everywhere I go? Well, what does that mean? Well, when He dies, I want Him right here by me, right around my throne. What about when you come back to the earth? Yeah, I'm gonna get on that white horse, and I want them to be with me on white horses too. And what about when you come down to the earth and you sit on that throne, Jesus? Yeah, I want them to be with me there in that kingdom as well, wherever I am. What about forever and ever and ever and eternity, for as long as we can see and forever? He says, yes, Father, I will that they be with me where I am, that they see all the glories. Oh, what a loving, gracious, kind, compassionate God that goes far beyond my thoughts, that would want to be with me forever. And I tell you what, if you would turn away from a God that wants to be with you forever, you don't deserve that kind of a God. He wants you to be with Him. All this world that He loved and He died for, He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to be with Him. All of His people that have disappointed Him and broken His heart, He wants you to be with Him forever. And He prayed for that. And I get to sing about the victory in Jesus, and I heard about a mansion that He's built for me in glory, and I get to sing about the fact that I'll never depart the presence of Jesus Christ. And I get to sing about the fact and think about the fact that when I close my eyes in death, or any loved one that I have closes their eyes in death, that I know immediately they'll be with Jesus, because Jesus prayed for that. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I don't have to stay down here. Thank you that I'll never be in hell. I'm going to be wherever you are. And wherever Jesus is heaven. Now let me ask you a question. Would that have been your prayer? Lord, I want to be with you wherever you are. We've got some people that try to get far away from God. You want to be with God? He wants to be with you. You want fellowship with God? He wants fellowship with you. Do you want closeness with God? He wants closeness with you. You say, preacher, you don't know me. Yes, but if you believed in Christ, he didn't just pray for these alone. He prayed for those afterward that would believe on him through their word. He wants you to be with him. And even if you're saved and you don't want to be with him, he wants you to be with him. What a God. I would that he would woo our hearts. That we would love him like he loves us. That we would want to be with him like he wants to be with us. But the sad thing, how many Christians, they're not in the presence of God through the week. They're not in fellowship with God through the week. They don't stop through their week and say, Lord, I really miss you. They don't stop through their week and say, Lord, I want to talk to you. I wish you were here with me in the flesh. I need your presence. How many of us, with the Lord saying, I want him with me, we're just not interested. Keep them, make them, fulfill them, sanctify them, and let them be with me. What a prayer request of our Savior.